Big announcement coming in the world of professional wrestling. Jeff Jarrett announces new promotion, Global Force Wrestling.
Nobody, and I mean nobody, is going to deprive these people. So why don't you choke on that, you big slap nut?
Welcome along to the debut episode of Podforce, the first and I guess currently only podcast dedicated to Global Force Wrestling. That's Jeff Jarrett's new GFW promotion. Somebody was going to do it, so it may as well be us. I am your host, Keelan Balderson, and I'm joined at this time by Sam Brooks.
Good evening.
And Carmine Antonelli.
I like how my name was so, like, properly announced. Thank you.
It's just the way it's, like, it just rolls off the tongue there. Carmine Antonelli.
Yay. Come on down.
I'm already here.
Yay.
So, we've gone with... This was so hard to come up with a name. We've gone with Podforce. But...
What was it before?
It was going to be Forcecast.
The Forcecast.
But that sounded like foreskin, so...
Or forecast. Probably more forecast. Forecast.
Well...
And now, the weather.
Yeah.
The Global Weather Podcast.
It's raining everywhere, all the time.
I guess that's a point of discussion. It's called Global Force Wrestling. Kind of used to it now, since it's been around for a while, through the news... through the Twitter and stuff, but is it a good name, do you think, or...?
Well, it depends on what it actually is. We've come to learn that they partnered with several promotions across the world, so, hey, it makes sense. I'm happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, when I first heard it, it's like, that sounds really generic and stupid, and sounds like something out of EWR, but now it's like, you know what, whatever.
I just love playing EWR.
I'm going to have Jeff Jarrett partner with all the promotions.
And everyone will be happy.
And then I'll hit everyone with a guitar.
Before we get too far into this, Podforce is a part of the Supla podcast network, so be sure to check out supla.com if that's not where you're listening to this already. And for all daily news updates and opinions and things like that, you can check out my website, which is wrestlingpundit.com. So, supla.com, you can get this in MP3, or you can listen to it on YouTube or whatever. But, yeah, check out all those things. So, what exactly are we doing with Podforce? GFW obviously hasn't actually announced any shows yet, unless you count the Japanese pay-per-view. But I thought it'd be worth just having a chat about what it might be, what the possibilities are, maybe... debunk some of the negativity floating around about it. I'm looking at you, Andy. He's a cynical Grinch.
He fucking hates this thing.
He hates everything. I don't know why. He hates life.
Maybe because it's Jeff Jarrett, and he has like a bad taste in his mouth for Jeff Jarrett after TNA. But
yeah, really. That's the only way I can imagine. He's like just so upset over the fact that this exists in the first place.
Yeah, he's like, fuck GFW, it's fucking shit.
And fucking guitars!
It hasn't done anything yet, Andy. It's still fucking shit.
Walk around drinking coffee.
But, I mean, the most obvious thing of what it could be at this point, seeing that it's partnered with New Japan and AAA in Mexico, is it seems like a new NWA type of deal, where it just partners a bunch of promotions together under one banner.
Yeah, and I think that there's like a misconception that a lot of people are having. You'll see it on comments on websites and things. They'll be like, oh, but there's no roster. What is it? There's no roster. It's just Jeff Jarrett and Karen on a reality show or something. Well, they're now partnered with the second largest promotion in the world. So it's not nothing. I'm pretty sure whoever owns New Japan... is not going to agree to work with Jeff Jarrett unless there's actually something on the table. So, yeah. I mean, these things take time. Before the internet was around, we probably wouldn't hear about it until it started. So this is just them going through the process of getting it off the ground, and people are like, "Well, they've not even seen it yet," and they're getting all arsey about it. But that's just the internet wrestling community, really, isn't it?
Yeah. And another thing I heard is that basically GFW is just a place where New Japan and AAA can get TV deals outside of Japan and Mexico.
That's not a bad thing, even if it was just that.
Yeah,
that'd be amazing.
I mean, for fuck's sake, Japanese wrestling and Mexican wrestling, far different than what we're getting with the WWE and the TNAs and the Ring of Honors. So it's a thing that people need to see more than anything.
Yeah, like, I've tried to get into New Japan a couple of times, and every time it's like, this is really hard to get into because I don't know what's happening.
Oh, breaky, breaky, bishy, bishy.
You don't realize how important the announce team is to wrestling until you can't understand what they're saying.
Yeah. Or if you put them on mute.
Yeah.
I mean, because can watch it and appreciate the in-ring style because it is completely different than what we're used to on, like, Raw and stuff. But after a while, it's just like, I need a bit more. I need some information. I need to know why these people don't like each other. And
I mean, you can only get so much of the Bullet Club's promos after a while. Like, you need other fucking English-speaking promos other than, "We are the Bullet Club! Da-da-da-da-da-da!"
Yeah, now with Kenny Omega, but...
Oh, God, is he in it now?
I think so. I think he's joined.
Oh, fuck's sake.
But, like, I was trying to watch it, and it's like there was this heated feud going on between these two guys. And it's like, I have no fucking clue what's going on. I think there's a title on... Is this a title match? I don't know. Like, it's really hard to get into when you don't know what's happening. So if GFW is strictly just a place where they're going to put a Spanish announced team, or a Spanish announced team, what the fuck am I saying?
Hugo, submit a bit.
El Mundo, muy bien.
An English announced team on New Japan and broadcast them over here. That'd be great. I'd love that. And do the same thing for AAA.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I mean, there's probably more to it than that, but even if that's all it was, I'd be all right with that.
Yeah, and I'm excited just to see something different, something new. I mean, Lucha Underground just started, and that's completely different than what we used to on, you know, Impact or WWE. Just slight changes to the way it's presented. Oh, the backstage segments are now filmed a bit more like a soap opera instead of the weird camera, you know, thing that WWE does or what TNA does. It's cut differently, it begins differently. Like, even just little things, it's like, oh, this is new, this is different. We've seen the same format for decades, basically. So, whatever it is, I'm excited to see it. And I think wrestling fans are so pessimistic because we've had the same old crap for so long from TNA and WWE. You know, they don't expect anything to change because every time someone comes along and says they're going to change something, it never fucking happens.
Where wrestling matters. Oh, wait, it sucks.
Oh, God, it's terrible. Abandon ship.
But, yeah, I can see what you mean. Like, people are stuck in the routine of, like, well, WWE is the longest lasting and most successful company, and they've been doing the same thing for fucking since the 60s. So, I guess there's a reason. And then GFW comes around. It's like, why should we believe that this is going to work? Like, that's the mentality.
I like to have hope. I like to have some sense of optimism because...
Oh, yeah, I think
it's Jeff Jarrett. I assume Jeff Jarrett knows what he's doing. I mean, he's been in the business long enough now.
I mean, look at all the other successful companies he's been behind the wheel of. Like, TNA...
Oh, boy, wasn't he involved with other companies before? Anyway...
Well, he's been... Like, his whole family have always been in the wrestling business. If you go back to his dad and whatever. Like, he has... Where Dixie Carter fails is she doesn't have any contacts. Like, Jeff Jarrett's respected in Japan and Mexico, and people know who he is, and people worked for his father, and people have worked for him when he was in, well, worked with him when he was in WWE and WCW, and at least he has, you know, at least he grew up in the wrestling business. Dixie Carter's just this person that's come along with the checkbook and, yeah, helped TNA out, stopped them from going out of business to start with, but... Yeah, not really done much else since then, really.
If anything, made it a little bit worse.
Yeah, I mean, people assume the worst about him because he's one of the names attached to the dead WCW or the half-zombie corpse TNA. But people forget there were a lot of other names attached to those failures, too. So it's not all him. Exactly, it's not all him. As long as Vince Russo doesn't jump on poor GFW, I think we'll be all right.
I'm going to have the whole of New Japan turn on AAA.
We have a Japan invasion.
We're doing a country on a pole match. Winner gets Japan.
Loser gets Germany.
Oh my god, that'd be the worst. But I mean, Jeff by himself, partnering with other promotions, I don't see too much that could go terribly, terribly wrong.
Yeah, and at least he's doing something that is different. It's not a standard promotion. And really, if the ultimate goal, I mean, anyone's ultimate goal if you get into the wrestling business is, you know, their secret passion is, oh, I want to compete with WWE. And we've seen how TNA hasn't been able to do that as a single promotion. Ring of Honor is, if anything, it's sort of like a developmental, but it's not a blip in terms.
It can compete with NXT, not WWE as a whole.
Right.
Mm, agreed.
And I mean, you can go back to, I don't know if you guys were aware of the XWF that was around a bit before TNA. You know, the same idea. We're going to run tapings. We're going to take on WWE. We're going to sign all these people that were left over from WCW. But the strategy of a single promotion, it just doesn't work. It's never going to work. WWE has such a long history. You can't just come along and compete with them. But if, you know, you join forces, you get promotions from around the world that already exist, that already have audiences, that may even already have TV shows, because some of these promotions do have TV shows, maybe combined, you can perhaps not throw WWE off, but at least survive and be relevant.
I mean, at the same time, think about the fact that TNA has Impact on Thursday nights. WWE has Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Main Event, Total Divas. As much as that's not a wrestling show, it's still one of their shows. They've got so many things. And then TNA's just got Impact.
Thank God.
When Global
Force, got British Boot Camp.
Oh, what the fuck even is that?
It's terrible. It really is so horrible.
But GFW is going to have other promotions to pretty much act as their other brands. So they actually have a fighting chance right off the bat, if anyone does, for competing with WWE. Because, like, they can have something to compete with Raw. They can have something to compete with SmackDown. They can have something to compete with NXT. And it's not all just put on the shoulders of Impact. Mm. That one fucking show on Thursday nights.
And I think another good point to make is that overseas markets, WWE are not necessarily a big deal in other countries. There are promotions in places like, where's the list? I'll pull up the list. But South Africa and so on that are drawing like 20,000 people to shows, and they're not WWE. So if you can get into these other markets through established names already, then, I mean, there's already a built-in audience. But what I'm really excited about, we don't know this is necessarily going to happen, but the idea that we can have a world champion that is actually a world champion, not just this guy on WWE TV who only defends the title against like four people each year, but somebody that actually travels the world, goes from promotion to promotion, goes to Japan, goes to Mexico, and can legitimately say, look, I'm a world champion. I face the best talent in the world. Instead of kind of this fake TV version of what a world champion might be.
Like, yeah, each promotion, each promotion can have their individual titles, like a New Japan title or a AAA title. But then in the GFW banner, there is a champion going from place to place. I love that idea, actually.
And the fact that it would actually add some form of meaning to the belts, like, you can hear it with World Wrestling Entertainment and TNA all you like, oh, the belts, they mean nothing, but now, with this promotions, or group of promotions, they have the chance to make the belts important and actually mean what they are, as opposed to just having the United States title being contested over a Russian and an Irishman.
Yeah, and I think it also, it elevates everyone else who's involved, because everybody has this one thing to strive for. I mean, because look at your average independent promotion. I don't know if I can Barry's Championship Wrestling.
BCW, I love that promotion. Yeah.
When they say, oh, you know, Barry is our world champion. Not really. What's a world champion about Barry in the middle of fucking nowhere? But if AJ Styles turned up with a belt that he just defended on a New Japan pay-per-view, it would make it seem more legit, and it would make everybody involved more relevant.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a guy who defends the title in AAA and then goes to New Japan and then goes to that South African promotion and just goes all over the place, it automatically makes it a bigger deal, because when you widen the pool of contenders, it just by default makes it a bigger deal.
Exactly.
It might be worth just going down the list here of what promotions are actually signed up. Like we said, there's a South African promotion called World Wrestling Professionals, and you can Google all these. They've got a pretty cool looking setup. It's not just your typical indie fed with like a black curtain or whatever. They've got big screens. It looks professional. They're professionals, and they've actually been on television locally in South Africa. They've been around since 1990. They've had several TV deals, and they've also had successful tours of countries like Nigeria, the Congo, Greece, India. And in 2009, they drew 20,000 fans to a show. So Jarrett's not just partnering with Barry's Championship Wrestling. He's actually going to established companies that have a track record, are making money, are on television, and do actually mean something. So
like, as much as I would love to see PWG in on something like this, it's probably not going to happen.
No. And at the same time, like, as good as American promotions can be, like, the world needs a spotlight sometimes. Like,
yeah.
Australia, which has like four of their promotions signed up to GFW.
Yeah.
One of them being an all-women's promotion, which is PWA, so I'm excited to see what kind of stuff they'll bring.
That'd be cool.
And also, we've got here in England, they've got Revolution Pro, who have signed up.
Ah.
And they run shows in the south of England, apparently, and their world champion is, well, the British heavyweight champion, is what they call it, is Marty Scurll, who some people will remember from TNA British Boot Camp, but he lost to Spud.
Great.
No. What a contender.
What a guy to lose to.
But he was a pretty good wrestler. Like, in terms of in-ring work, he was probably better than Spud. Spud just had more of a character, I suppose.
Yeah.
And Rev Pro, they're known for, you know, bringing in the international stars and stuff. I mean, in this country, wrestling never really draws more than a few hundred people. But out of the promotions that are successful, Revolution Pro is one of them. There's also New Generation Wrestling, who have actually been shown on Challenge TV, which is the same channel that Impact is on in England. So, you know, two of the more prominent promotions over here. And in Scotland, they've got, let me see, Premier British Wrestling is a promotion out of Scotland. And they share a lot of talent with ICW, so Grado is on the roster.
Oh.
So we might get the chance to see him, though he is also possibly going to TNA, so...
Oh, no, Grado, be smart, please, Please be smart, don't go to TNA.
Have you seen the new episode, the new series of British Bootcamp?
Not at all. Why would I put myself through that?
Because he's on that, and yeah, it's a horrible. It's not a very good show. It seems kind of rushed and amateurish the way they've set it up. But they've worked an angle. See, that's what annoys me. It's supposed to be about British talent trying to impress and getting a contract or whatever. But it's fake. So it's like, well, you've already chosen who's gonna bloody win. So what's the point in watching this shit? But yeah, they worked an angle where Grado came late to training and Al Snow told him to basically piss off and don't come back, which means he's actually going to come back and win.
Al Snow, for fuck's sake.
The best guy for British representatives.
Who does everybody want? Not that guy. Anyone else? Fucking Al Snow.
There's this like empty grimy warehouse somewhere in fucking England where they've got Samoa Joe, Gail Kim and Al Snow just sitting there in this empty warehouse and all these quote unquote British stars coming out like cutting terrible promos and it's horrible.
But, oh, it sounds fantastic.
But this Scottish promotion might have some talent that we've heard of from ICW. Maybe not Grado, because he might not be there.
I wonder why ICW itself is... Are they on the list?
No, this is the thing. Like, there's a lot of promotions who the internet fans may have heard of. Like ICW. Earlier you brought up PWG and stuff. And I think... I think they might think that they're in a good spot themselves. And they don't kind of need to join in with this thing, if you know what I mean. They have their own brand and stuff.
I guess.
I agree to an extent, but at the same time, TV deals never hurt no one, right?
Yeah, why would you turn down the option to expand?
I guess more people could sign up eventually, like...
Yeah.
True, I guess it's not like either now or never.
True.
Eh.
And just going down the list, we've got WXW out of Germany, which is one of the biggest promotions in Germany. They've been around since 2000, and they have TV shows on YouTube already that you can go check out. And they look, they look pretty good. It's called Shotgun, not WWF Shotgun from back in the day, but...
God forbid it.
There's that, and then there's Emerald City Wrestling from Ireland. And like Sam said, this is some groups from Australia. So... quite a wide spectrum of places, South Africa, Australia, England, Scotland, Germany, Ireland. So when they say global, yeah, they do actually mean global, not just raw.
I think this does cover all continents when you look at it.
I think so.
I mean, you got Europe, you got South Africa.
You have...
Well, the South African promotion tours, like... Central Africa as well, like the Congo and stuff. So,
and you also have South America with AAA.
Well, some people don't consider Mexico South America. They actually consider like there's a separate Central America. But
okay, fair enough. Duh.
Still, it's in the neighborhood.
No American promotions, really.
Yet, but there might be in the future. Who knows?
Interesting.
Well, if you watch some of the Journey videos that he's put up on
those things. That's I wanted to bring those up actually. Because
oh, here we go. Buckle in.
No, shut up. I'm not, it's not that bad. It's just that it's like when you talked about people being cynical when this first got announced and like it was in the early stages, these Journey videos did not help.
It was really like,
hey, I'm Jeff Jarrett and I'm vlogging and here's Mick Foley. Love us, please. It was like really bad. It was really bad.
Yeah, but that's kind of like what happens when any, like, I wouldn't say old guys, like, he's middle-aged at best, but when they just get a hold of this new fad technology and they're like, I'm going to do what the young kids do and that'll bring in all the views. Mick Foley, everybody.
It looked like he was trying to do a Kickstarter and didn't know how to get people's attention. And he's like, look, Mick Foley, are you paying attention now? Let me tell you about GFW.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
It just brings on Punk.
Yeah, I think they didn't, like, they need to hire, like, a social media manager or something.
Well, they do have Scott D'Amore, who is VP and in charge of relations, so I imagine he might have had something to do with it.
Oh, I didn't know they had Scott D'Amore. That's actually quite a positive thing. He was the man behind the original Knockouts division, and he brought over a lot of talent because he ran a promotion in Canada. He brought over people like P.E. Williams back in the beginning and Bobby Roode.
Ah, well, there you go. That's a good name to have.
Speaking of the Knockouts division, earlier Brooks mentioned one of the Australian promotions signed up as an all-female promotion, and the only other one I've ever heard of is that one, Shimmer. What country is that located in? I've never actually...
Shimmer is primarily American, I believe.
Okay, so...
We'll double-check that.
That leads into a question I kind of had for you guys. If Ring of Honor doesn't become the American representative for GFW, who would you think would be?
Shimmer, because they are in fact Chicago-based.
There you go. Are there any other big American promotions that would fit into this?
Now you mention it, though, perhaps the idea is that in America, GFW has a roster that's GFW, whereas in the other countries, they partner with other promotions. And maybe they don't actually partner with any American promotions. And they just sign talent. Because, I mean, on the indies, everybody's in every promotion. Anyone that's decent, and any promotion that's decent, everybody's in and out anyway, like PWG and... You know, Ring of Honor, Dragon Gate US, they all have the same top stars, really.
Yeah. And also, further looking at Shimmer, they do have quite a strong partnership with Ring of Honor. So, if Ring of Honor does find its way into the GFW fold, I would not be surprised if Shimmer eventually gets in there, too.
Yeah, I think...
Because they
I
have
think...
had their belts defended at Ring of Honor events, and it was created by Dave Prazak, so...
I think not including an American promotion would be a missed opportunity if the idea is we have people from all over the world. Because, like, it's just... Maybe it's just my inner wrestling fan loving the idea that some dude won the Global Force Championship in New Japan and now he's coming to America to fight Adam Cole for it. You know, like, that's just a really cool thought. But, you know, it's under... I just think it's a missed opportunity if they don't do that.
Well, there is a semi-connection between Ring of Honor and GFW already through New Japan, because the big news, really, is that this January 4th Tokyo Dome show, which Jeff Jarrett is distributing in the United States under the GFW banner with English announcers, and... There are Ring of Honor talent on that card. I've not actually seen the card. I don't know if you guys have. But...
Shit.
Wrestle Kingdom 9 in the Tokyo Dome. I think Carmine's reaction to this pretty much sums it up.
Oh, you know how to get a dude hyped.
Yeah. They have sick. One match on the card right now, which is Hiroshi Tanahashi, the current IWGP Heavyweight Champion, versus Kazuchika Okada, the Rainmaker.
Oh, shit. That's like one of the only
hyped.
New Japan guys I know.
I am hyped for this already.
And yeah, this is, like, this isn't hype. This is New Japan's WrestleMania. This isn't TNA in Currican Hall with Wrestle 1 in front of a few hundred people. Yeah. This is the Tokyo Dome. This is a big deal.
Yeah, this is fucking big.
Yeah, really.
And according to, I've got the press release here, it says it's going to, I'm not sure how accurate this is because it's a bit... It's worded a bit weird, but it looks like it will air live at 2 a.m. in America, which is, I think that's like 7 a.m. here in England or whatever. But it will also re-air at 7 p.m. Eastern in America. And it's going to be on all the major carriers, DirecTV, Dish, Comcast, Verizon. It's also going to be in Canada on Rogers and Bell and all that kind of thing. So it's going to be there. If you want to order the pay-per-view, it's going to be there to order it. And they're also trying to get it on iTunes via some app. It's called the Flipped app or something, which means people from other countries like here in England will be able to watch it, I guess, on demand through iTunes at a later date or the next day or something. So they're really trying to get it distributed quite widely.
They've really got this on lock, haven't they? They know what they're doing. That's great.
This is actually really cool.
Like, and we'll probably do a live reaction to it at some point.
Can we please?
Well, I'm guessing that'll be our next show unless something major is announced between then.
Oh yeah, for the Pod Force.
For the Pod Force, not the Force Cast.
Yeah. I mean, like I said at the very beginning of this, even if that's all GFW is taking a New Japan event and distributing it to everyone else, I'm really okay with that.
Yeah.
Likewise.
And I think just having the English announcers opens up so many doors for the Japanese talent, because so you do get Japanese talent that comes over to the US indies, but you don't really know them. There's always this image, oh, it's this great Japanese guy, it's going to be great, but you don't really know any more than that. Yeah. But if they're regularly doing pay-per-views in English, we get to learn who they are. They become a bigger deal, so when they come to America, it's just all round more important.
Yeah.
Now, there's obviously been some speculation already, and I don't know if it's been officially announced yet, but if we are going to be having English announcers for this pay-per-view, who would you have announcing it?
By God! It's
Jim Ross! The man the IWC fucking hates now.
Yeah, they turned on him pretty quickly, didn't they? Fucking hell.
By God, now on his my opinions are going to be controversial.
Exactly, because now on his friggin' podcast, he says shit that the internet fans don't always like. So it's like, oh, I thought JR was one of us. I guess not. I guess he's a fucking asshole.
At the same time, he is one of the greatest commentators of all time, so I wouldn't oppose him being there.
And he actually did show interest. Like, he wrote a blog saying,
really?
I would like to call like an English Japanese. Yeah, he wrote a blog. Jesus. Doesn't do that at all, does he?
No, I've got it.
But yeah, he said, like, it'd be pretty cool if I could do the English announcing for, like, a New Japan show. And then, like, a day later, it's like, New Japan partnering with Jeff Jarrett. So then people were like, oh, maybe Jim Ross is going to work for GFW. And then, of course, you know what Jim Ross is like. If he gets one little rumor that he's read somewhere on a forum somewhere, he has to, like, bitch out the internet about it. So he's like, oh, all the internet twitched my word saying that I was working with Jeff Jarrett. Like, all right, no, but you said you'd like to work for
Yeah, what the fuck are you angry about if you said it's something you'd want to do?
How dare you say something that I also said?
And pretty much everyone would love to see him do it, so come on, get your checkbook open and get him on board.
I mean, I'd like him there. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to having Jeff Jarrett there either. I mean,
I think he's an obvious choice.
So I'd have to maybe another guy who I don't know that's actually good at his job, unlike our announced team.
If Ring of Honor is going to be a part of that show, get Nigel McGuinness on that team.
Oh, God, yeah, Nigel McGuinness. There you go. Three-man team.
Ross, I would prefer Kevin Kelly, personally, but
either one. Neither of them are bad.
I mean, yeah, and there's a handful of other people floating around, like Matt Stryker and Josh Matthews. Well, I guess he's with TNA now. I'm not sure.
But, is he? Josh.
There's a photo of him outside like TNA's offices, and apparently he's just like the boss of the website or something. That's why there's loads of new written articles on the TNA website.
Way to utilize talent, guys.
Yeah, and he actually wrote a tweet saying, someone said, when are you coming back to WWE? And Josh Matthews is like, why would I want to go back there? I want to call wrestling. But now you're working for TNA and you're not calling wrestling.
You've just burned every bridge and you're fucked. Good job, Josh.
Like, I would rather him replace Taz and it be TNA and Josh Matthews.
I'd rather Matt Stryker and Josh Matthews replace both of them.
Yeah.
Well, Matt Stryker,
I'd rather anyone replace both of them, to be fair, because they're both just bad commentators.
Matt Stryker on Lucha Underground is brilliant. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's a good commentator.
And like they've got
no, we just make shit up sometimes.
Well, sometimes.
But they got Vampiro, who's not so good, but
you know. Well, you need a counterbalance sometimes.
You need a wrestler to say, oh, like when I'm in a ring and stuff like that.
Like that's how PWG does their announcing. Like they have the owner Excalibur on commentary, and then every match the other commentator changes. Like this match it'll be Kevin Steen, next match it'll be Joey Ryan, next match it'll be Chris Hero, and it's always another wrestler who's obviously not involved in the match. But that style works pretty well. That was another thing. I was going to say maybe get Excalibur in that show, but if PWG's not a part of it, then that wouldn't make any sense.
No.
But, yeah.
They're just assembling a dream team at this point, really.
But
the dream team that makes the most sense would be JR, Jarrett, and either Kelly or McGinnis.
Hells yeah.
I mean, there's probably a long list of people that could do it, like even just former wrestlers that we forgot about. Or
Steiner. And if they can't Steiner. Get... Yeah, oh my god, that'd be amazing.
He's fucking Japanese, guys!
Freaking hair! But if they couldn't get JR, like if for some reason he just went so anti-internet that he refuses to do it, have Jarrett and just, fuck it, the Ring of Honor team. Fine. The three-man team.
There you go.
Like, I'd be really okay with seeing this. And I'm actually really hyped for it now.
There you go. GFW is bringing something good to the world, just when we thought it was all doom and gloom and coffee.
And another area that there's a lot of talk about, and which is now starting to... It looks like we might be heading that way, is a TV deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, after all, you can have all these promotions on board, but what does it really mean if you haven't got a TV deal? Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I don't really see a bet. Like, if you're a promotion and you partner with Jarrett, what is there other than a TV deal? Like, maybe... Yeah,
what do you have to gain?
Yeah, like, maybe there's something to just being branded together. But really, you do need a TV deal to push it forward. And we already know that Jarrett's partnered with somebody called David Broom, who... produced NBC's The Biggest Loser show.
Good. Great. That's
we're
going to
put five wrestlers in a house and see who can gain the most muscle mass in a week.
If you're a skinny fat ass, you're fired.
Scott Steiner runs it.
Get down, give me 20. I said 20.
20.
Are you saying 10 or 20? I'm saying 20.
20.
Eh?
I'd watch that.
Who fucking wouldn't?
But anyway, yeah, this dude's production company will be producing whatever GFW ends up producing, and they are shopping things around to networks. The only thing is, like, TNA have not announced a new deal yet. WWE didn't get the rights fees that they want. It doesn't look like television is a very prosperous place right now for wrestling.
If I was a guy who was giving out the TV deals, I don't know what the fuck position does that, but let's just say I'm the guy who does that. Someone comes to me and is like, hey, WWE wants all this terms and conditions for their TV deal. It's like, TNA wants, oh fuck, no, get out of here. Hey, this guy wants to bring all these fucking wrestling promotions from around the world into one, like, unified banner, and he wants to give him a TV deal. It's like, okay, let's at least look into that. That's so different. I'd give it a chance, even if I don't end up going with it. I'd look at that before I look at fucking TNA.
Well, yeah, because if you can say financially, we have the second biggest company in the world of pro wrestling, and it just needs to break into the American market, then that's better than this promotion that's had ratings slipping for like
we have British Boot Camp.
We have Grado, who are probably going to fire in about 3 years anyway.
Less than that. How less long was Joey Ryan in TNA? Like a month?
He was in TNA.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, great. Sorry, Joey.
Yeah, exactly.
But
he was on fucking Gut Check, and then he was gone in like 3 months.
Oh fuck, Gut Check.
Yeah, that was shockingly bad. Like everyone that's good we're not signing you.
Yeah.
Let's get this guy.
this guy.
Okay, this right guy. There. Who? We don't know. He's released already. God.
Sorry, Adam Pearce. We think you're amazing, but we're going to not sign you for no reason.
I think Joey Ryan's, like, debut feud was with Al Snow.
Oh, yeah, that one time where Al Snow turned purple and nearly died wrestling a match.
No, because, like, Joey Ryan was on Gut Check, and then Al Snow was one of the judges that said no. And then, since it was all fucking... No? I don't... It was all fucking scripted anyway. That,
yeah,
like,
that's what's so wrong with that concept, like, British Boot Camp and Gut Check. It doesn't have to be scripted because people really do want contracts and you really are a wrestling company that can offer them contracts. You don't have to fake it.
Yeah, but...
We're talking about TNA again.
I know, it always goes back to TNA. But, like, he said no, and then Joey Ryan came back the next week or something to, like, try and, like, another shot, and then, like, he ended up getting into a fight with Al Snow, and then, like, that was his debut match, I think.
Great.
It was fucking terrible.
Less of the pain, more of the global...
Yeah, GFW is, it looks promising, to say the least.
Mm.
It does.
And I think the major hurdle, really, with TV is not, it's not necessarily interest, because there is always going to be some channel somewhere that needs to fill a couple of hours. It's a case of whether GFW can take that deal and actually make money from it, because WWE's rights fees were not what they wanted them to be. TNA are being dropped from Spike TV, not because they're atrocious, even though maybe they are, but the ad revenue that TNA Impact brings Spike TV is lower than what other shows with less ratings can get them. So people, like ad executives, value reruns of Cops or old movies. They value that more than TNA, even though TNA can bring more eyeballs than them.
Cops! Fucking brilliant.
Dr. Evil Sam Brooks.
So, I mean, to start with, it may just be that Jarrett has to accept that we'll have to go on a small network somewhere until we can prove that we're a draw until the ratings can go up. Because, I mean, look when TNA first started. They were actually on Fox Sports Net, and they weren't making money on that. That was just somewhere they could show what they can do. And then Spike picked them up. So maybe Jarrett can do a similar thing, get on a small network, prove that their show's something different and worth watching, and then a bigger network that will actually pay them enough money to make it worth it comes along, says, all right, we'll give you a shot.
Yeah, like get a 1-year deal with like the CW just to like get your feet in the water, and then once you've built an audience, you can take that to another place and be like, look, we had this little TV show, it's become a big deal with this demographic, give us a bigger stage and we'll build an even bigger audience, and just go from there.
And then they'll get the 2 a.m. slot on Sky Sports.
But if you look back at, like, ECW, when they first started, they were, like, a regional thing where they would be on some affiliate somewhere in one part of the country, and then they'd be on some other thing. And then that, and I think they even paid to be on the air on some of these stations. But then that got noticed by TNN, who picked them up. Because ECW too violent or whatever, like it didn't really go well. And then TNN actually picked up Raw after that. So there is a way to build up a product if you start, even if you lose money, if you can get the brand out there, then it can mean something in the long run. And if you actually go back to the territory era, what they would do, all the territories that were signed up, because, you know, it's split into different regions of the country, each one of them would have their own local television deal. And, I mean, some of them would pay to be on the air, but then they would sell tickets to the local shows, to local shows through those TV deals. So they would recoup the money by being localized. If that could still work, I'm not sure if it could, because localized TV is not really a thing anymore, is it? But like, if they could do that in each small territory and each one has their own little TV deal, it's kind of what Ring of Honor does.
Yeah.
Apart from Ring of Honor isn't, you know, made up of different companies, but they're in different regions on different channels and things, but they're on a lot of them, so it builds up to the point where it's almost a national deal.
Yeah. I mean, another thing I've been thinking about is, like, if GFW brings a unified TV deal to all these promotions, how would that airing system work? Like, would it be an hour of New Japan this week, and then next week it's a AAA show, and then next week it's, like, how would it work?
Well, depending on how much programming they get, I imagine it would be similar to maybe how WWE does it, where Monday you have AAA, Wednesday New Japan, and then Friday Emerald City Wrestling.
I always thought it would be sort of like a best of compilation of perhaps the week in GFW. So you get the opening match from this promotion, another match from that promotion. Oh, the world title was defended this week in Japan, so they put that on. And it's not necessarily all in the same building, and so, but they just edit it all together.
That'd be cool.
That would be something.
You do wonder, though, whether, like, jealousy and power and, like, oh, you've not put me on TV this week, Jeff, well, we're going to hold you up for money and we're going to leave GFW. And, like, how would they define who gets to go on when? And
that's where it becomes a tricky situation, and that's where I'm interested to see what happens.
That's just assuming that everyone wants to be on TV. Maybe some of these promotions are with GFW for another reason. I can't think what, but there's got to be something else.
Well, they've all agreed, so we know that much. So they see something in it, and Jarrett sees something in them. As long as they don't change their minds, then there must be something there that benefits both people.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see where this goes.
As for, like I say, he is looking to do TV, and word is that he's been scouting sort of semi-permanent locations in Las Vegas. So...
That's a good place to have wrestling. I mean, it would draw live audiences like anything, because, hey, it's fucking Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of the TNA, like, there's pros and cons, really, because you get a lot of tourist foot traffic, so people just like, oh, wrestling's on in here, let's go and watch this. Like you get with TNA, but then maybe the audience doesn't quite get into it the way you want them to, or if you get regulars, then they get burnt out and they're not excited. Like, the Impact Zone did kind of dwindle out after a while, but don't know.
I guess it's just a case of waiting to see what happens at this point. I mean, we are still in the early stages at this point.
Yeah, it's all still in planning right now. So, once more stuff comes out and once the ball starts rolling a little bit more, we'll be able to say more about it. But for now, it's... I'm personally looking forward to it cautiously.
I am approaching it in the same kind of mindset, but I am hyped for Wrestle Kingdom 9.
Yeah. That's going to be good.
Do that more, and I'm sold.
Yep. Pretty much.
And I think with Vegas, like, it's got a... There's kind of a history in the way you can present it. Like, you've had a lot of MMA out of Vegas, had a lot of boxing out of Vegas. The kind of the rooms they could do it in, it has a sort of style to it. You could imagine how it would be set up and stuff. And just a bit of trivia, I pulled this up while I was researching the show. Back in the 90s, there was a promotion called the UWF, the Universal Wrestling Federation. And they were, this is kind of the early 90s, they were kind of trying to attempt to take on WCW and WWF at the time. And they ran out of casino venues in Las Vegas and had TV tapings. And Mick Foley, this Cactus Jack, was on the card and things like that. He writes about it in his book, actually. But Yeah. So.
Well, here's hoping it doesn't go like that.
Yeah. Apparently that one didn't work out. But I don't know. I have hopes for it.
I have dreams and various happy thoughts about it. Hopefully they come to fruition.
I had a dream where the wrestling world had different things than 3-hour Raws and Impacts.
I have a dream where New Japan wrestlers and AAA wrestlers can compete for the same title.
Without being called racist things by Triple H and social media people.
I had a dream where I was in a canoe with Hugh Laurie. Kenny Omega was there as well. Fuck it.
Omega was there in the Bullet Club.
He was like, I'm going to clean this canoe.
Super kick out of nowhere into the water.
Yep.
Yep.
And that's how I woke up.
Well, I think that kind of brings us to the end of the show. We've been going for an hour. I think we've covered pretty much everything that we know so far about GFW. Like you guys, I'm excited to see what it turns out like. I'm excited because it's different, not the same old shit. So, yeah, I think that pretty much wraps it up. Be sure to check out Supla.com for all of the other great podcasts on the network, and also WrestlingPundit.com for daily news updates. I've been Keelan Balderson, and you guys have been you guys.
Yes, I have been me.
I have been me.
So, we'll catch, unless something major breaks before now and the New Japan show, we'll catch you with, I don't know whether it'll be a live reaction or a review or something, but we'll be definitely covering that show here on Podforce. So, catch you next time.